Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to You Create Change Radio, another Monday. Happy, happy Monday. Sorry, folks, when I was in here. The wind was coming in extremely loud, so it would have picked up on the mic and it'd been difficult for everybody to hear. So, just have to make a quick change the direction real quick, but we're right here back. So, thank everybody for calling and listening in. Another Monday live, You Create Change Radio. Tonight, and tonight we'll be talking about failure, so I'm excited about that. But just how we do every week, we always have a short little recap of what we talked about last week. You can kind of catch up. So, of course, Bree, our beautiful call, is going to help us out with that today. So,
all right, what's up, man? All right, next thing we're talking about is last week. Last week we talked about the hustle. So this is episode 11. We had Kelly Chapman, the owner and operator of Macalicious. We had a wonderful time at her event, and we went into some hustling forward and hustling backwards. That's what you went on topic with. And then we also talked about patience, dedication, and obligation. Main hustle, side hustle, and sometimes hustle. So, like I always say, y'all, go back and check that out. It's some really good information.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to recap what we talked about last week, always. It's definitely, we talked about how it's very important to have that main hustle first and then create that side hustle. Now, I'm going too much into it today, but I just want to, like, really, like, you know, kind of push that home. Like, you've got to have a main hustle before you have a side hustle. And that's how you can reach new level of success. But today, of course, we're talking about failure. And we always start off with a question of the week. If you've been catching up with the site, with the platform, question of the week is always there. So, you know, Bree going to kind of help you guys with that if you guys didn't catch this week.
So the question of the week this week is, how does failure lead to success?
There it is. How does failure lead to success? So if you're listening today, just be excited about that, because I know there's a lot of people out there that's failing and failing over and over again. And a lot of times you feel like, you know, it's not for you no more. You feel like giving up, and kind of like, when do you stop trying, or do you start doing something else? So I'd like to bring up the man, the legend, Michael Jordan. I could bring him up. He said he missed 9,000 shots. So, you know, he counts all the times that he failed. And he said he lost over 300 games in his career. And kind of he said that all that led to him being the most successful basketball player that we've seen thus far, you know, most would say. So you definitely want to look at that, you know, look at how Michael Jordan saw his failures as just kind of, you know, I don't know, a vehicle to success, I like to say. And Robert Kiyosaki, if you guys don't know who he is, he's a extremely great author, Rich Dad Poor Dad, predicted a lot of crashes in the economy and how money was going to be. And he liked to say, sometimes you win and sometimes you learn.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. Yeah, there it is. But the question was, how can failure lead to success? Well, I think the real question should have been this week was, how much failure leads to success?
Right. Man, over and over and over, it keeps happening. But, you know, interesting, because failure is always looked at as a bad thing. So, you know, like Robert Kiyosaki was talking about, look at it as a learning lesson. You know, and if we can fail fast, that means we can learn fast, and then that means we can get to where we want to be. You know?
It's really necessary, and I think a lot of people don't really realize that, because when we go to school and we fail, that's all it's focused on. Like I said, like when you get your paper graded when you were in school, they mark up all the wrong answers. They don't mark up all the right ones. And why is that? And it's like they want you to focus on what you did wrong,
to improve you,
but you don't realize how much you've done right or how much you've actually learned throughout the process.
Interesting enough, they use a red pen.
Well, red is the color that stands out to the human eye the most.
Yeah.
It catches the most attention.
It's dangerous. Stop. That's the wrong place, folks.
So, you know, how much, I like to say, how much leads to success? So the idea of the day, as we kind of share these tips and tools, is you want to fail faster so you can learn faster so you can succeed faster. So the idea of the day is fail faster, learn faster, succeed faster. Say it again. Fail faster, learn faster, and then you will succeed faster. So to understand success anyways, you got to understand failure. You know, a lot of people are studying success, but they don't study failure. There's not a lot of people talking about failure because we're so busy talking about succeeding.
Absolutely.
You know?
We don't talk about what goes on behind closed doors.
No.
Right?
No, you know, and I, you know how I feel about, I mean, I read a lot of stuff to a lot of you know, audios and great speakers, and I have a huge issue with people not sharing their story of failure enough because it kind of gets in the minds of people where I ain't got to fail. You know, I'm not going to fail. If I fail once or if I messed up, then it's not for me. I can't do it. So you got to understand failure before you understand success. So that's what we going to do today. We're going to understand some failure and want to understand why that's even important, why we're talking about it today, why people keep calling and listening, why we, you know, grow new listeners every week. And the only way to be in a position to succeed, the only way to be in a position to succeed is by being in a position to fail. Right. And that's probably the spark note of the day.
But what about those times when, you know, people are like, but I'm failing all the time. Like, I'm failing. You're talking about I'm supposed to keep failing, but I've been failing for years. Like, nothing's changed. What am I supposed to do now? Like, what do you say to those people? Like,
well, I think because a lot of people don't still understand it. You know, I'm going to kind of talk about it in a minute, but, you know, people don't fail fast enough. You know, sometimes understanding what failure is first, well, then once you understand what it is, you understand how to manipulate it and how it's actually working in your favor. Failure is a vehicle. That's what it is. You get in it. You got to be in the water to learn how to swim. You know, you got to get in it. And a lot of people never put their feet in because they say it's too cold and, well, I can't swim, so they never actually get in the water.
Okay.
So, you know, they don't actually get in the vehicle in order to learn the skill. So, you know, others know failure as, I'll say the successful know failure as, they know failure is called practice. That's failure. Failure is called training. Mm-hmm. Failure is called learning. Failure is called experience. However, whatever category you want to put, those are all categories of failure. Mm-hmm. But it's looked at, practice is looked at as different. What is practice? Practice for?
To help you get better.
All the things you're doing wrong to correct them.
Yeah.
Training. It's set up for you to fail. It's set up so you can to learn how to deal with it. Like when you learn, you gotta the experience. So, you know, when people are looking for a job, you know, and they ask for your work experience, they want to see, you know, not all that you've done, but all that you've had to deal with. You know what I mean? They know you dealt for 5 years, you know, what you've seen already, what mistakes you won't make again.
Uh-huh.
So if you think about the car, I kind of talked about it, like literally your vehicle, your car, it fails a bunch of times before it starts. And it makes a kick, right?
Yeah, before it turns on.
Right.
Okay.
Once your car is failed enough times at a fast pace, then you may start to succeed forward. That doesn't mean you're going to be successful. That doesn't mean you're going to start to move forward. Now you're in the position to move forward out of failure. Mm-hmm. But you have to fail at a fast pace enough time.
Mm-hmm.
If your car is clicking too slow, most likely it's not going to start up. I mean,
very true.
There it is, you know.
That's very true.
And then on top of that, a lot of people don't know how to use it, failure. You know, I've failed a lot of times in my life. I've been successful and failed at the one thing I was successful at before.
Mm-hmm.
You all have.
I think that's very important to look at because we will get to a place in life and then, you know, all of a sudden we start to feel like we're failing and we lose the things that we had. Well, a lot of times we didn't recognize what our failure helped us, how our failure helped us get there to begin with. And then sometimes we got to get knocked down again.
Yeah, you know, and use it. Failure is used as a test. You know, it's like a probationary period or like rookie hazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really a rite of passage. You know, if you've joined, you know, a Greek organization, you know, there's usually some type of process that necessary. If there's a rite of passage.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be some type of, you know, I can't think of the word, but process.
Well, yeah, you need to, and you have to be connected to it.
Yeah, you have to be on the other side to pull you through that process.
Yeah, exactly. It is a process. Yeah, it's a journey.
And really, the process, I believe the process is for, you know, determining if it's for certain people or not, you know what I mean? But the process doesn't determine it. The person determines it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's all about, all the process determines is what do you value more, is your desire to succeed or your fear of failure.
Yeah.
That's all the process is doing.
Yeah.
Do you desire this particular, you know, goal more than failure? Mm-hmm. Then we'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Essentially. So, you know, this
kind of how we talked about before, it's just the vibrations. Whatever you're putting out is what you're getting back. So if you're constantly just going to, you know, be moping around and then you're never going to get there fast enough.
It ain't going to happen. I mean,
just get comfortable with being uncomfortable, right?
What job doesn't have training?
Every job has training.
A period for you to fail.
Yeah.
Like, there's a period designated. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I like to ask this question. Like, would you rather go to training for once a month for 6 months, or would you rather do 6 days straight through before you start a job?
Give me the 6 days.
No one wants to wait 6 months to start. But it's the same amount of training, but you see, it's so spread out that it takes longer, and then you kind of lose what you've learned.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are failing, but they're not failing fast enough. You know, you've been failing for 3 years, but you've been trying once a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not enough. So because you know you're going to fail, you kind of got to start preparing yourself for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to kind of end on this as far as the concept, and we're going to move into the second part of the show, but this is a big topic, so, you know, you got to prepare for failure. And people don't prepare for, like I said, they prepare for success, but they don't prepare for failure. They prepare for the win, but they don't prepare for the lose.
They ain't preparing for the game. That's what the game is.
No, and it's all preparation, even with money. You got to prepare yourself. If you know it's going to rain, get a coat in advance.
Yeah.
You know, or get an umbrella. And how many times you get caught in the rain?
Right.
You ain't prepared. Yeah, and now that's why you can't handle the rain. That's why you can't handle failure. You're not ready to deal with it when it comes. So, you know, it's like what? Everybody got to get prepared for work. Every day you wake up, you got to get physically prepared, put on your clothes, brush your teeth, and you got to get mentally prepared to even get yourself up at a particular time to get there at a particular time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a preparation. It's a
process.
It's a process.
Yeah.
Especially if it's your first day, if it's your first time doing something, you don't give it your best on the first day, on the first try. You have to give it your best. If it don't go well on your first day at the job, most likely you ain't going to quit unless you just really hate it. It ain't for you anyway. Then if you don't like it, it ain't for you.
Right.
If you love it and you failed at it, I mean, it is for you. You just have to now go through this process. So prepare yourself. Read, meditate, pray, eat right, exercise, listen to You Create Change, Personal Development of the Week.
Every Monday at 8.
Every Monday at 8, you know. Find a way to grow yourself. And, you know, just like I said, a lot of people prepare themselves for failure and wish they're not prepared for success.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people do not prepare themselves for failure and wish they're not. Now we're talking about, of course, there's always more we can discuss, but we want to get into the good part of the show. If that wasn't good enough for the people listening today. We have some amazing, amazing individuals. And you follow You Create Change every week. You know, we feature someone. And this week we have probably one of our biggest features that we've ever had. I'm going to let Bree introduce you.
Yeah, absolutely. These guys are just killing the music game right now. I was just so surprised with, like, everything that was going on. So much was happening when I was finding out about these guys. But y'all saw it all throughout our platform. Chris and Drea, these are the founders and creators of the Front Runners. And the Front Runners are booming. What's that song? What I Want. Oh, my gosh, that's my theme song now. I love it. I love it. I love it. They're actually the songwriters of that song.
Silly Girl. If you ain't heard it, it's a banger.
Oh my gosh. It's awesome.
Shout out to Drea.
Get it. Okay, so without further ado, I'm just going to go ahead and just say welcome, welcome, welcome.
Get them in here. Let's see. Chris and Drea, are you there?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing?
What are you doing, man? Listening to y'all, man. Sounding good over there.
definitely appreciate it. Thank you again for actually rocking with us all week. Definitely appreciate it, man. It's definitely been an honor to Drea and Chris to have you guys take the time out of your night on a Monday. I called early. You cooking dinner, getting ready for the night to end, to close. Appreciate you taking time out of your day to join us on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, man.
Great. So just like all interviews, we're going to ask a couple questions. And, just be free with the answer. It's all love for all our listeners. They know how we get down. You know, we just keep it real here. So, of course, we got to ask you this question because I see it posted all throughout your website. A lot of people don't know who you are. So who are the Front Runners?
Well, we're a husband and wife. Songwriting and production team, and we've been doing this for a minute now, you know, and Drea is an artist. The Front Runners, we have an imprint as well, with a couple of artists signed and stuff, and you know, we trying to, you know, make our mark on the industry, you know, like everybody else, you know.
I do know. Actually, I do. definitely getting the opportunity to follow you two and learn a lot about the history and what's been happening lately. I saw that you actually did Serena Williams' fashion show out in New York. How was that? What was that experience like working for her? You know, and definitely you usually work with music artists, you know, now working with athletes, big time athletes.
You know, it was a different experience. It was something that we could not have prepared for, really, honestly. It was something different than we normally do as far as, like, you know, the writing and the, you know,
yeah,
the production sessions and stuff. It was something outside of our box, which was really dope. Working with her was really, 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 really fun. She's not only a tennis connoisseur, but she's also a music connoisseur. So, you know, she knew exactly what she wanted to hear. And, you know, we went back and forth with the design team and HSN and Serena. And, you know, she went back and forth with Drake. And we just ended up collaborating and creating something just really cool and really just an experience that we'll never forget. It was really awesome walking into the fashion show, just listening to our music playing while everyone's, you know, getting to their seats. And, you know, it was amazing. I could go on, but it was amazing.
Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, no, I just say ain't nothing like walking in the room, you know, and Drake's in there, the editor-in-chief of Vogue is in the building. It was just, crazy. It was some out of a fly dream. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, it's crazy.
You know, it seemed like a perfect time for it to happen because especially with all the attention, you know, Tory Drake, I mean, and then him and Serena. I mean, you know, you have to bring so much more attention to the front runners. And that's all I decided to see. I'm like, because I'm not excited about Drake. I'm excited about the front of what they got. Look how they're blowing them. Look how much attention is on them. So, I mean, that's a blessing in itself. And I heard awful, no publicity is bad publicity. So, you know, y'all definitely blew up on that one. But I got to ask a question because it's important for our listeners to know about the beginning. And if you heard about the show, a lot of people don't talk about their failures in the beginning stages. How was it at the beginning? Like, what sparked the fire for the front runners and, you know, led all the failures that led to your success now?
Man, so we both come from completely different backgrounds. So I started out, I moved to California, and I was in a singing group. Drita was an artist early on, and, you know, with being artists, you know, when we were younger, came tons of failure. You know, bad management, the wrong records, inconsistency because we were young, you know, and not knowing how to do the things that we know how to do now. So when I first got to California, I was signed to a group called Our Rendition, and, you know, we were signed to Quality Records, which was a subsidiary of Capitol, and, you know, we were doing our thing, doing tours and all that. And then we encountered bad management, and that automatically, you know, thrust us into some immediate failure with bad management. And, you know, that builds a whole new sense of who you are when you move from, because I'm from Texas originally, you move from Texas, you move to L.A., you have some immediate success, and then all of a sudden it comes crashing down around your ears where you thought you were going to be a megastar. And so, yeah, it's kind of sobering. I'll let Dee speak to her situation.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I grew up at a performing arts school, and, you know, it was a school with, like, hundreds of kids. So, I mean, my failure started there because, you know, we used to audition for musicals, and, you know, there wasn't a lot of roles for young, you know, for Black girls. So it was really tough for me because it was something that I enjoyed doing, but, you know, I couldn't get a lot of the roles that I thought I could get because, you know, they weren't for me. So that's where it first started with me. But, you know, in my early 20s, I used to hang out a lot with a lot of different celebrities, a lot of different people in the music industry, a lot of different people in, you know, athletes. I mean, you name it. And, you know, I was doing music on my own, and I was recording on my own, and I was writing on my own, and I was just trying to make it, and I really didn't have a lot of guidance for me. So everything that I did was based off of, you know, my own personal perception of who I was as an artist. And, you know, being around all these people, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, this is the perfect opportunity for me. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to make it. You know, I'm hanging out with Puff Daddy. I'm going to get a record deal. But, you know, at the end of the day, I didn't know what it really took to be an artist, and I didn't know what it really took to be, you know, on the business side of the music industry, and, you know, what drive it took, and, you know, the passion and just the persistence. And so, you know, I didn't end up obviously using those resources, and my biggest success has actually come with, you know, meeting up with Chris and me and him, you know, taking both of our failures and downfalls in our careers and putting them together and just igniting something that was just different than either one of us have ever had.
And this is what's crazy. Then, you know, we have individual failures and we had our joint failures. Because when we got together, we floundered. I was producing her. She was an artist. And we floundered for years. And to kind of get to the positive side of things, you know, fast forward, we have been doing it together probably about 2 years. We went to visit one of her friends in Houston, and her friend's husband was a producer, and his production and songwriting team was having some success. And he listened to our stuff, and I'm like, dude, what do we got to do, you know, to get heard and make some traction? He said, I think you guys are doing too much. He said, Chris, you're a producer. Dre is an artist. Y'all saw, we're doing a bunch of these. I think y'all need to find one thing and try to do it to the best of your ability. And we both sing and we both rap, so we decided we're going to be songwriters. I dropped production. She dropped being an artist, and we just focused on songwriting. And that's when stuff kind of took off for us.
Yeah, we had a focus.
So this is interesting. So, y'all went from producing, you know, and I know you guys do a lot of vocal coaching now. So you went from this whole, you know, umbrella down to the stem and back to the umbrella anyway. Is that kind of what I'm getting?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
But you got, you got to crawl before you walk or run, right? So we had to crawl and learn, you know, the songwriting was our strongest ability between the two of us. And plus, you know, we were both vocal arrangers. I knew how to vocal coach. Everything was centered around writing and singing and stuff. So when we did that, you know, I think we were a little bit better than most people coming in to the music industry. So it gave us that foot up on a lot of people, you know, that step up on a lot of people.
That is so inspirational for not only myself, but I know a lot of people who are idea-driven and have a lot of ideas. I know Bree, you know, she has experience. She's an idea fiend. I mean, she comes with ideas all the time. And, you know, a lot of times. So, you know, it's awesome to hear that for myself as well. But for the listeners right now, you know, it sounds like what the front runners, Andrea and Chris, and kind of you said is fell in one direction for a moment.
Right.
And how did that, like, dignity of simplicity, how did that simple, I guess, you know, how did you shave it down to what it was going to be? Because you had all these great ideas.
Literally for me, I think it was more difficult for Drea than me. Literally, I put my keyboard, all my stuff up. I put all my equipment up. Literally, I put it all away.
Actually, it was good. It was easy for me because I'm a writer at heart.
You in the middle. You were in the middle of making your artist push. Or have you forgotten? We had just dumped thousands of dollars into her career. Walked away from. We walked away from it all. It was tough. It was really tough. We all know forever, but it was tough for you, dude.
I don't remember.
I remember you crying. It was so tough.
Wow.
That part of it.
Wow. I mean, go ahead.
No, I was going to say thank you for being real though, because that's what we need to hear. That's what doesn't get told, you know,
right,
in people's story.
Oh yeah.
Doesn't get told.
Yeah.
So if you was crying, great. I need to cry some more then. You know.
Oh my God.
And we all do.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's okay to cry, but, you know, I'm a little over-emotional sometimes, you know. I overdo it. But, you know, I think for us as human beings, we have to be able to get out our emotions. Otherwise, they, you know, build up and build up and build up. You can't control it at a later point in life, so.
Yeah, and I think they muddle the failure as well. Because when you tie your emotions up into your failures and you link them together, that's the thing that keeps you from going on.
Yeah.
And that's why people quit. I always tell my friends that, you know, aren't doing music right now that started out with me, the only reason why Dre and I are really successful is because we never quit.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. You know, that's the biggest thing. You got to keep going no matter if, you know, I got a cool story about failure. So a couple of years back, we had a huge record we did with a producer named S1 out of Dallas. He did Power for Kanye West, Best Thing I Never Had for Beyonce, and it was going to be for a huge movie, a huge franchise. And at the last minute, like literally 2 weeks before the movie dropped, they decided not to go with the song. And that was, I mean, we almost quit. I almost quit. You know, we were pretty depressed after that. You know, we had a huge deal on the table with Calvin Harris's publishing company at one point, and that fell through. You know, it gets disconcerting sometimes, and amount of failure that you deal with. But you have to hold your head up. Don't tie it to your emotions. You know, if you're going to cry or get upset, let it go and keep moving forward.
Wow. So that last question, you know, for our listeners, what was that one thing? You can just what was the one thing that got you through those failures? If there's one key principle or piece of word literature, what was it that got you through those moments that you wanted to quit?
For me, I mean, wanting to quit actually hasn't gone away with me. Sometimes I still want to quit. Every once in a while, but it can be a little discouraging because, you know, the music industry is tough. You know, you put in a lot of work and you have to have the patience to wait for the fruit, you know, from the tree, you know, from everything that you planted. You have to wait. You have to have patience. And so for me, my patience is not so great when it comes to music because, you know, there's nights where I lose sleep. There's nights where I'm away from my son, and there's nights, you know, where, I don't know, it's just, I want to give up. And for me, it's God and my children and all the work that's already been put in the pot. So that's the, like, okay, you've put in over 10 years of work, and in the last, you know, three or four years, you put in all this work and time, and you just want to throw it away like that? So I have to talk to myself a lot. So it's, for me, it's God, my children, and just, you know, all the work that's been put in.
Oh, wow. That is, I mean, that there it is, God and family. So, you know, Chris and Drea, I just want to thank y'all tonight for joining us on You Create Change Radio. Thank you so much for the thank you for our listeners. If you want to follow what the front runners are doing, please go to our platform at www.youcreatechange.us. Click on our features. You can find all of their stuff. You can find the front runners, all their new music, even their websites posted on our page. And we're going to quickly discuss what we're going to talk about next week. And we're going to shut it down. Bria, let's talk, please.
Yes, absolutely. Next week, we are coming with you guys with Balance. That is going to be the topic for next week. I'm so excited about it. We also have a lovely lady, Dominique Oliver, who has her own Vanity Corner called Dominique's Vanity Corner, where she teaches people how to live naturally, eat naturally, and be beautiful naturally. So this will be awesome.
That's what we got for you next week. Please stay tuned. Go on the platform. You Create Change, a new platform for the positive and the creative. And here we embrace the difference. Everybody have a good night. See you next Monday.